That today our Lord is sitting on the throne. It says at the right hand of the majesty on high. You have to realize that in chapter 1 of Hebrews, Paul did not waste any time to show us where Christ is today. He's the King sitting on the throne in the heavens. And it says in chapter 1, concerning the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Praise the Lord. You have to realize that God's goal is to bring His kingdom down to this earth. I want to remind you again of the Lord's Prayer, the so-called Lord's Prayer. Amen. All the Christians know this prayer. Mm-hmm. Our Father who art in heaven, right? Hallowed be your name. That means God's name must be glorified. And then it says, your kingdom come. God's kingdom must come to this earth. This is very important for us to see. This is why the Lord taught us how to pray. His kingdom must come down to this earth. Remember, in the book of Matthew, the beginning of the gospel. John the Baptist and the Lord and his disciples, they all preach concerning the kingdom. Repent, because the kingdom of the heavens is near. Because now the King himself is coming, Christ the King. You know, for us Christians, when we think about the word of the name beside, our concept is already the same. But not for the Jews. For them, their understanding concerning the name Messiah is the anointed King. For us Christians, because we only hear about the Savior, right? So for us, the Messiah is just the Savior. But not for the Jews. That's why it's written, behold, your King cometh. Your King cometh. So the beginning of the gospel is repent. One. Because the kingdom of the heavens is near, is coming. That's why we should repent. In the whole plan of God in His Bible, you must realize that the main burden of God is to establish His kingdom on this earth. This is a mystery. I think if you know what this Bible is all about, you will realize how important the kingdom is. But today, John, the Apostle John, in his epistles, tells us the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. That means it is still under Satan's hand. That is why the Lord called Satan, when he was on this earth, the prince of this world. The That is why you have so much trouble in this world.
There's
war, killing, corruption, sinful, a lot of evil. Of course, there's also good, right? But that's only one us. But as a whole, the history of this world is a history of war. And the worst at that time was the Second World War. So many people, millions of people killed. Remember, Satan is a murderer from the very beginning. So, God's plan is to bring His kingdom down to the earth. But in order to do that, He has to defeat His enemy. Of course, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, He was victorious. Right? After accomplishing redemption, He rose again from the dead, and He ascended, and the Word of God tells us to be sitting on the throne today. Let us read right here, right, in Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 13. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The enemy, the power of darkness, is ruling still. Whether you like it or not, this is a fact. There's so much darkness because the prince of darkness is ruling still. Now, you may ask a question which is legitimate. Okay, you can ask this question. Why didn't God get rid of him right away? Very easy for God to get rid of Satan, right? I think He just had to use a little finger and Satan will be gone. Why didn't He do it? Why? Because according to God's plan, He wants to use man. Man was created to defeat Satan. But unfortunately, Satan corrupted Adam. Sin entered into mankind. Today we all have the problem of sin. Yeah. And we became, or the whole mankind became, slaves of sin. Unfortunately, even the enemies of God. Let me show you the verse in Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Verse 9 and 10. Verse 10, just verse 10. Okay, would you read it in Korean? Yeah.
우리가 원수를 때 나에게 주심으로 말미암아 하나님과 더불어 화목되었은즉 화목된 자로서는 더욱 우리의 나를 주님하며 구원을 받을 것입니다.
Right. It says, for if when we were enemies,
만약 우리가 대적들이라면,
we are not just sinners. We're enemies of God. We don't believe in God. We're even against God. We're disobedient. Look at this world. So much against God. The world is not friendly to God. Sorry, even in the United States today, the atheists are gaining momentum. Look at the laws passed by Obama, for example. Definitely, many areas there are against the Word of God. So, you have to believe that mankind has become enemies of God. That is why throughout the centuries, there's so much persecution against Christians, against the church. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, they want to crucify him. They want to get rid of him. For them, it was not enough just, okay, let him do what he wants. No. They wanted to get rid of him. So, not just that they didn't believe, but they got rid of him. Can you imagine his own people shouting, crucify him, get rid of him? So, the Bible says we were enemies. Can you imagine God created us? We are His creature. And even created according to His image. And yet, after the poison of the serpent get into our flesh, our body, we became enemies of God. So, what can God do? That's why you should realize that there's a reason why God did not destroy us, the mankind. Although we became even enemies, right? God's way is for Himself to become a man in Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, not as God. That's why the whole four Gospels emphasize that He is the Son of Man, not just the Son of God. For God to defeat Satan is so simple. Satan will say, of course you will defeat me, because you're God. But God's way is to become a man. We sin with Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. A couple of chapters later. Verse 3. Okay, would you please read it in Korean? And verse 4. Amen. This is one of the main reasons Why God Himself has to incarnate and become a man. Because mankind is very important. God will never give up mankind. He Himself became a man in Jesus Christ. Not just to save us, but to recover us and to bring forth a new man born of God. Yeah, this is really wonderful. And as a man, our Lord defeated Satan. Not a simple thing. You know, when the Lord came, Satan did his best to bring him down. You know the temptation. Right? But the Lord was victorious in the temptation. And then the Lord went to the cross to accomplish redemption for us. And then He rose again and ascended and sat today and is still sitting on the throne as the Son of Man. This is very important, because this is our destiny to rule over the earth. Don't think this is a simple matter. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2. I know I shouldn't go too fast, right? But we have no choice, because we're limited in time. But you really need to have this impression in your mind. This is a quotation of Psalm 8, chapter 2. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? Why is it that God loves man so much, loves us so much? Why? Because man is created in a very special way. And here in this psalm, tells us, you make him a little lower than the angels. And this means the flesh. Because the flesh is made of dust. But then, you have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. And you have put all things in subjection under his feet. This is God's intention for man. And you can take a look at this world today. Everything is in subjection to mankind. Who is in control in Korea? If there is no human being who should rule over Korea, the dog, the cat, the bird, no. No other creature is created by God to rule over everything. But man, human being, is created by God to have dominion over all of it. But unfortunately, because of sin that comes in, came in, Man's ruling is full of problems. So much corruption. And I think South Korea is not an exception, right? No. It's not an exception. All the nations today full of corruption. If you consider the election today in America, there has not been such a terrible election time like this time. There is no qualified candidate. You cannot find any more good people to be the president. Can you imagine there are at least almost close to 300 million Americans?
300 million.
Not billion, no, a million. A million Americans. You cannot find a good candidate. You think about it. Right. So, fallen man cannot rule. And actually, behind all this fallen rule is Satan trying to destroy mankind. How can you, for example, as a president, legalize gay marriage? How can you do that? I remember last year, sorry, I was saying a few things to show you how corrupt mankind is. President Obama gave a speech to the graduating class of the University of Irvine of 205, right? Graduating class of 205. I'm sorry, 2015. 2015, yeah. Last year. He said the most progressive achievement in our time.
Remember,
the most progressive achievement of our time is the legalization of the gay marriage. He considers that as the most progressive achievement. And saying that in front of several thousands of young people of the graduating class of 2015. Last year, 2015. Language is the real I'm sorry, I'm trying to speak slowly. Men cannot rule. That is why in the second coming of the Lord, He is going to bring His kingdom down to us. The Bible calls it the millennial kingdom. Thousand years kingdom. That's why we Christians are looking for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His first coming, came to accomplish redemption. But in his second coming, Revelation 19, we just read this morning, he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we are faithful, we will rule together with him. Praise the Lord. So, today, the Lord is waiting for us to be ready. But the Christians don't care. I don't know of too many Christians who really cares about ruling with Christ when he comes. It's not easy to rule, you know. The Lord has to prepare us today. The Lord, first of all, has to rule in me, in you. We have to learn to let him rule in our lives. Otherwise, how are we going to rule together with him? That is why it says here in Hebrews chapter 2, let's continue. But now, today, verse 8, yeah, the second part of verse 8, we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Praise the Lord. What kind of Jesus do you see? Just the crucified Jesus who suffered death on the cross? Or do you see Jesus crowned with glory and honor? What do you see? Of course, he was crucified. He accomplished redemption through his death on the cross. No doubt about that. That was really necessary and very precious. We are not still. We are not looking down on the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, please. But there is something even more glorious that the Lord Jesus has accomplished in his ascension. It says he is crowned with glory and honor. Wonderful. And according to Psalm 8, God also wants to crown us with honor and glory together with our Lord Jesus Christ, to make us sit together with Christ on his throne. As we have read, so at least 3 or 4 times in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that the Lord is now sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. This is our wonderful Lord in Jesus Christ today. 2,000 years ago he was crucified for the sake of our sins. He became our sacrifice for sins. But then he rose again, and now he's sitting on the throne crowned with honor and glory. You need to see this. Your condition as a Christian depends on what you see. If you only see the cross, you only see a Savior, you'll be conscious about your sins. Oh, I'm so terrible. Oh, I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm so weak. Oh, Lord, I need you to save me. Help me. You're my helper. You're my Savior. And you're full of pity for yourself. But if you see the Lord sitting on the throne, full of glory, victorious, powerful, far above all. Just like what Ephesians chapter 1 says. Let us read. Praise the Lord. Let us read. Beginning in verse 18. Or verse 19. Let us start in verse 19. Yeah, please read. Paul talks about the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Do you know this power? Do you experience this power? And this power is the one that raised up Christ from the dead. Death cannot hold our Lord Jesus. And then seated him at the right hand of God, of course, in the heavenly places. And today, he is far above all principalities and powers. Far above all might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. God did not just give us a crucified Christ. God gave us a Christ who is now sitting on the throne, far above all. Everything is under his feet. And today he is our glorious head. Head over all things. This is why we love this head. And nobody can replace this head. It's not easy to be the head of the church. Who is capable to be the head over all things? No one is capable. But praise the Lord, God gave us such a wonderful head. We need to hold on to this head. Our problem is, we don't see him as such a Christ. This is why I said, what kind of a Christian you are depends on what kind of a Christ you see. Our Christ is wonderful. So, and we are supposed to rule with him. Let's go to Psalm 8. Let's go to Psalm 2 first. As early as Psalm 2. The Word of God already tells us here. Verse 8. Will you please read? Amen. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. I hope you'll begin to ask him. Lord, give me the nation for my inheritance. Because we are supposed to rule with him, right? But if you don't know, you will not ask. But if you ask, the Lord promised to give you the nations for your inheritance, and even the ends of the earth for your possession. This is really our destiny. And of course, we already read Psalm 8. We are supposed to rule and reign. And then in Revelation, chapter 1, the Lord did not only save us, but to make us kings and priests to his God and Father. Kingdom of priests. Kings and priests. And then let us read chapter 5. You are worthy to take the scroll to open up its seal. Verse 9. And have redeemed us to God by your blood. And verse 10 says, and has made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. Not in the heaven. But here. I love this earth. The Lord did say in Matthew chapter 5, right? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth. And of course, we read two verses already this morning. God's promise to those overcomers in the churches. Rule over the nation. And to sit with Christ on his throne. So many verses talk about this. And then at the very end of chapter 20 of Revelation. Amen. Let us read verse 4. Right, let's read verse 4. Thank you. shall reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then at the end of verse 6, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. They shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Priest of God. A king reigns with Christ 1,000 years. This is a wonderful promise given to us. We all need to know this. Forgive me for repeating so much. Because it is not in our concept. When we were on our way to lunch, a couple of friends told me, John, you went on too fast. Because quite a few brothers and sisters, they don't have this concept. You're going too fast. I said, oh, okay. I'll slow down. I'll try to slow down. Because this is a very important burden. Because this is not in our concept. I need to change your concept. We need to know what God wants us to be. That is why today, our Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, was sitting on the throne as the King. He's the King of righteousness. And He is also the great high priest. According to the order of Melchizedek, it is a very special order, different than Aaron's order. Sorry, we have to go back to Psalm. Let's go back to Psalm. I'm sorry, we have to go back and forth. Psalm 110. It's a very short psalm. So, 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came, King David wrote this. Amazing. How can King David know concerning Christ? According to the book of Hebrews, Christ is the great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And he's at the same time the king sitting on the throne. Okay. So David prophesied. The Lord God said to my Lord, the Messiah, sit at my right hand. Until I make your enemies your footstool. And the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Now this is very important now. It says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. That means the king must rule out of Zion. And yesterday we talked about Zion. This is why all these messages are connected to one another. Right? I hope you remember, right? We all need a good memory. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Because God is not going to force you. And to draft you to be part of the army. It's all voluntary. In the day of your power, your people shall be volunteers. That's why I asked Brother John. Do you really want to be in the army? Nobody's going to force you, I think. It has to be voluntary. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, I volunteer. Because He will never force anyone. Our God will never force anyone. Yep. In the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. From the womb of the morning, you will have the dew of your youth. You don't have time to get into these verses. But firstly, it means that the army, the beauty of the army is the holiness. And it must be fresh like the dew of the morning. And it must be the strength of the youth. Don't wait until you become a grandfather, then you will serve God. Because nobody will draft grandfathers and grandmothers 18 years old to be in the army. All the army must be young, strong, and fresh, living, like you. The Lord really needs a fresh, living army. But it's all by volunteer. It's all voluntary. Yep. Amen. That's what a king needs, right? And then the second part of this psalm. He says the Lord has sworn in verse 4 and will not relent. You, concerning Christ, right? You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. The Lord at your right hand, He shall execute kings in the days of His wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. The Bible talks about the last war of Armageddon. He shall execute the heads of many countries. And He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Praise the Lord. And He shall lift up His head in victory, of course. That's why the Lord, when He comes back, He will be the glorious King. Oh Lord Jesus, this last three verses is a description of Revelation chapter 19, where the Lord comes back with His army. To destroy all the armies of the world. And we will be His army.
우리는 그분의 군대가 되었습니다.
David wrote about this 1,000 years before Christ came. Amazing. This Bible is really the word of God. Otherwise, how can somebody? This King David is one of the greatest kings in Israel. At the same time, he's a prophet. And he wrote about Christ. Actually, all the Psalms is about our Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Hebrews, now, we go back and forth, right? Right. Amen. We have to consider in chapter 3, first of all, right? Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Especially concerning Christ as our great high priest. And he was a son over God's house, faithful. Praise the Lord. Our Lord is really faithful. In verse 6, Christ has a son over his house. He was really faithful. And we are his house. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope to the end. Praise the Lord. Right? So we have to consider Christ as our great high priest. If I'm not mistaken. The book of Hebrews mentioned the word high priest at least 18 times.
제가 실수한 게 아니라면
18번
언급하고 있습니다. 대사장으로.
That's right. And here in chapter 5, verse 5,
For
also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. But it was he, God, who said to him, This is a quotation of Psalm 110. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Right? And then in verse 7 to verse 10, he describes this great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, has to be perfected. Even he has to be perfected. Because he became a man. As a man, he needs to be perfected. That's why in verse 7 it says, who in the days of his flesh because he was a man when he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You might as well read it, verse 9 and 10.
Yeah.
우리는
죄를 지었으니 자기를 순종하는 모든 자에게 영원한 구원을 선언하시고 하나님의 예수님의 감사를 주시는
주님의 영광을 주시는 주님의
주님조차도
to have this wonderful office
이 놀라운 직책을 수행하기 위해서
as a man,
인간으로서
it needs to be perfected
그분도 온전하게 되셔야만
That's simple. Because if he cannot, if he's not perfected, he cannot help us.
그분이 온전하게 되지 않아야 우리를 도울 수 없습니다.
So let's continue to jump to chapter 7.
7장으로 좀 넘어가겠습니다.
Concerning this wonderful high priest as Melchizedek.
이 놀라운 대제사장이신 멜기세덱에게
No, in verse 2, right? Concerning this Melchizedek, in verse 1, let's start. King of Salem, priest of the Most High God. So Melchizedek, firstly, is the king of Salem. Right? And verse 2, it says, Firstly, the name Melchizedek is translated King of Righteousness. Because Melchizedek, the name in Aramaic, is King of Righteousness. And then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, Righteousness and Peace. Goes together. So Christ is not only a priest but a king. A kingly priest. And a priestly king. Now in verse 3, please read. Amen. Right. He's a special priest. Our Lord is special. Without father, without mother, no genealogy. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, made like unto the Son of God. Why? So that he can remain as a priest forever. This is very important. Because in the Old Testament, the high priest keeps on changing. Because they die. But here we have a wonderful priest who lives forever. And that's why he is able to save us to the uttermost. Right? And it says here in verse 16, let's go to verse 16. Could you please read?
그는
Amen. He is a priest according to the power of an endless life. Amen. Right? A wonderful priest to help us. And then it says here, let's continue. In verse 23, please read. And 25. And
26.
Amen. The wonderful high priest. Very qualified.
살았답니다.
And he lives eternally to make intercession for us.
우리를 위해서 중간에서 중보하십니다.
You know, we always tell people, pray for me.
사람들에게
Brother,
기도합니다.
Pray for me. You better tell the Lord Jesus, Lord, pray for me.
알겠죠,
But even if you don't ask him,
그러나
여러분이 As a great heavenly high priest, He is always interceding for you. Praise the Lord. You need to see this. This is His job as a great high priest. And He is qualified, fitting for us, right? Because He is holy, harmless, undefined, separated from sinners, has become higher than the heavens. He doesn't need like those earthly high priests to firstly make sacrifice for his own sin, because our Lord is sinless, is perfect. That is why He is able to save us to the uttermost. So that means salvation is not once for all. Salvation is continuous. To the uttermost. Start by faith. We go on by life, and we'll be saved to the
sacrament.
Don't think you're already saved.
Yes,
you are saved through the initial salvation given to you as a gift of God. But in our daily life, every day, every year, we need to be saved more and more. In our mind, in our heart, in our thinking, in our habit, ourselves. Our soul, we need a lot of salvation. We need to be transformed. We need to be conformed to His image. There's a lot of things we need to be saved. Most of all, you need to be saved from yourself. I need to be saved from myself. From myself. Saved to the uttermost. Not by the cross, but by the great high priest who is today in the heavens. The heavenly high priest. He is able to save to the uttermost. The cross is the beginning. Is being the great high priest who will bring it to perfection. Don't you need more salvation? Me too. We all need more salvation. Who is going to do it? Me? Can I save you? No, you should say no. Say a strong no, John. You cannot save me. But there is one who can save. Our great heavenly high priest. And not only that, as the great heavenly high priest, the main thing that he is doing is to perfect us to be the priests.
그분은 우리가 그 제사장이 되도록 우리를 온전하게 하시는 것이 그분의 주된 일입니다.
Just like in the Old Testament days. Aaron is the high priest, and he has sons. So Aaron and his son. And his sons are the priests. High priest, there's only one. We only need one great high priest. But today, we must be perfected to be the priest. This is why we are talking about a priesthood in the last 2 years. Tonight we will share a little bit about the priesthood. What is the service of the priesthood? But these two things you need to be very clear. He will make us kings and priests. Kings, we rule with Christ. Priests, we serve with Christ. The kingship is to subdue the enemy. The priesthood is to satisfy God our Father. We need this too. Kingship and the priesthood. Amen. Okay. We'll continue tonight about the priesthood. Amen. Okay. You lead us in prayer? Someone? Yes.
Yes.